Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 3, please. Luke chapter 3, last week we talked about John the Baptist, you know, him being the forerunner and preparing the way for Jesus. And he had a message and a baptism of repentance. And repentance is basically turning to God, turning away from our sin, from ourselves, really turning to Him. And it's a beautiful word. I just really do believe it is. It's a beautiful thing. But John said, you know what? You need to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. In other words, it needs to be real. It needs to be true. And, you know, he said to the people, you brood of vipers. I mean, you know, this guy was a preacher, right? You brood of snakes is basically what he said, you know, that there's got to be fruit, there's got to be truth, there's got to be reality in our lives, or we're just like a snake. And I remember when I asked last week, how many of you like snakes? It was one or two. How many do not like snakes? It was pretty much everybody else. And we don't want to be like that. David Guzik said, you know, integrity in the ordinary things. And Jesus, you know, in that passage, John was talking about different, just ordinary things. Do you have integrity? And is your life reflecting your relationship with Jesus? So today we're going to finish chapter 3. And basically it's the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. And we saw Patrick talked a few weeks back about, you know, the one story. We had, you know, we know about the birth of Jesus, and then we have this one story when he was, you know, what, 12? Help me out here, Patrick. And just that one occasion, and then nothing until now when he's like 30 years old. So we're going to see in this particular thing that happens at the beginning of his public ministry, found in all four Gospels, and it starts out with him getting baptized. It's interesting. We're gonna look at that. So let's start off in chapter 3, verse 21. It says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. You think about this, you know, Jesus getting baptized. Now, John has been talking, as I mentioned, this was a baptism of what? Of repentance. A baptism of repentance. Now, Jesus, all the other people, they're being baptized. Jesus was baptized too. And you have to ask the question, I think, why would Jesus be baptized of all people? In fact, you know, when he came up to John, to the Jordan, it says that John tried to deter him. He tries to say, no, you can't be baptized. He says, I need to be baptized by you. And yet you come to me, he said. But this is what Jesus' answer was to John. He said, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. Then John baptized him. So you still have to ask the question, so like what does it mean? Why would Jesus be baptized? Well, Jesus' answer is number one on the list. He says to fulfill all righteousness. And this word righteousness means what is right. To fulfill what is right. People were coming to John to be baptized because it was the right thing to do. It was right to turn away and turn back to God. That was the right thing to do. Now, Jesus, of course, was always focused on the Father and that, but Jesus had this thing here to fulfill all righteousness, to do what was right. So we see that the first thing that he says is to do what's right, to fulfill all righteousness. The second thing, and these also come out of the New International Version Study Bible. It was a public announcement. This is a public thing. And Jesus, again, it's the beginning of his public ministry. And the first thing he does, he is baptized. along with all the other people. When John saw Jesus at one point, John chapter 1, he saw Jesus coming toward him, and what did he say? He said, "Look, or behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Behold, look at him. So Jesus is just now beginning his public ministry, and who he is. He's the Lamb of God. He is the Savior of the world. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. And so he's stepping up for all people to see who he is. I think the third thing kind of ties in with the way the NIV says it here. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And I think it was part of it was this, so that he could identify himself with us, with our sin, with all these people were being baptized, and Jesus was baptized too, and he identified himself with us, with our sin, with man's failure. But the last thing I think was that it was an example to his followers. Jesus was baptized. Jesus took this public stand to be baptized and tell the world that this is a good thing to do. Again, it's the right thing to do. It's a public thing to do. It's got the picture. And for us, Christian baptism, I think it has in it that aspect of repentance. But isn't it a public declaration of the death and burial of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? It's a public statement of that. But not only just for the public to see, it's something for us as well. That we believe in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're going to celebrate it out here at the cross, the death of Jesus on Good Friday. And on Sunday, celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, our Savior, conquering sin, conquering death. I was thinking about this. This used to be a Baptist church, right? Green Meadow Baptist Church. And some of you know this, but maybe some of you don't know this, but there's a baptismal back here. We have a baptismal in this church. How many of you did not know that? A few of you. Behind the flowers there, underneath the cross, there's like a tank. But I don't necessarily like to use it because it's so far back. And maybe if we got everybody to come up and stand on the stage, I think. So what I'm thinking we should do is we're going to get a tank and put it right here and fill it up and do baptisms right here. Because we do it in the summer, right? But I think we should be able to do it all year round. Maybe you've never done that. I think it's something that Jesus did it. Isn't he the one that we follow? Isn't his example something for each and every one of us? To make that stand and that public declaration that I'm a follower of Jesus, and Jesus got baptized, why don't I? So can you picture it here? Churches use them. I'll show you pictures. I didn't get a picture for you.
Calvary New London has some examples.
What's that?
Calvary New London does find some examples.
They do it as well.
Yep.
And Calvary Chapel New London. That's awesome. I'll look for pictures. So Jesus was baptized, and it was the right thing to do. He identified with us. He gave us his example, and he showed us who he was to the world, really. He began this ministry. The second part of that verse there, verse 21, says, "And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form." And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This second half of that verse there, it kind of blows me away, really. It says, as he was praying, heaven was opened. As he was praying, heaven was opened. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, one of the dominant themes in the Gospel of Luke is about Jesus praying. And again, I've already been talking about the fact Jesus shows us an example, but Jesus was praying, and when he was praying, heaven was opened. Luke chapter 5 says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Luke chapter 6, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. Luke chapter 9, once when Jesus was praying in private, later in chapter 9, 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed. Mount of Transfiguration. As he was praying, something happened. As he was praying here in our verse here in chapter 3, heaven was open. As he was praying there, he was changed. Does prayer change us? Is heaven open for us? Luke chapter 22. In fact, why don't you turn with me to Luke chapter 22? There's a couple instances in that chapter. Luke chapter 22. You can find Luke because you're already there, right? Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. This is beautiful. Of course, all the scripture is beautiful, but look what happens here in Luke chapter 22, verse 31. He's talking to Peter, Simon Peter. He says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." Peter goes on to say, "No, it's never going to happen," or whatever. But Jesus prayed for him, prayed for Simon, for us to pray for people. And then jump ahead to verse 39. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And on reaching that place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." And he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, and he knelt down and prayed. He said this, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Jesus prayed, and was it easy for me? He's looking ahead to the cross, right? And was it an easy thing? He prayed. Jesus prayed about it. For us to pray about difficult situations that we know are coming ahead in the future for us. And look what happens. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. He prayed even more. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he arose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them, what? Asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping? Get up," what? "And pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Jesus is his example. He prayed, he talked to his Father, and what an example that is for you and I. If Jesus prayed, he needed to pray. What about us? And what happens here back in Luke chapter 3? It says heaven was opened. We've seen some of the fruit of what Jesus, what happened when Jesus was praying, and you say, well, that was Jesus, and that those kinds of things don't happen to us, but I beg to differ. I think when we pray, God hears and God answers, and heaven is opened to us, to you. Matthew Henry, the old preacher, said, thus there was open to Christ, and by him to us, a new and living way into the holiest. Sin had shut up heaven, but Christ's prayer opened it again. His prayer gave us an opening for you and I into the very holiest of holies. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, knock and what? It shall be opened to you. Ask, seek, and knock. Prayer, that's prayer. A-S-K, ask, seek, and knock. And the way will be opened, and heaven is open to him. Now, not only that, we read here in verse 22 that not only was heaven open, but the Holy Spirit also came down in bodily form. This was, of course, to affirm who Jesus was, because the prophecies in Isaiah 42, here's my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. Isaiah chapter 61, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me. But look what he came to do. The Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. This is what Jesus came to do for you and for me. Isn't that incredible? When John saw it, he said, I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God, Jesus, the Son of God. Again, he's starting off like this, and it's a beautiful picture, heaven open, the Holy Spirit coming down. But that wasn't all, right? What happens next? It says there that a voice came down from heaven. God spoke, the Father spoke to him. He said, you are my Son, whom I love, and with you I'm well pleased. There's a love relationship that we can see between the Father and the Son. And the Bible talks about you and I having a love relationship with God the Father as well, that he speaks. Is God all done speaking? I don't think so. In fact, you open up your Bibles and you pray and ask God to speak, and I believe he'll speak to you. Open up your Word. Two more times in the Scripture, though, it talks about the Father speaking from heaven to Jesus. Luke chapter 9, it says, a voice came from the cloud saying, this is my Son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. Listen to him. Would you just listen to him? Now, I think John the Baptist would probably preach that a little differently than me, perhaps. Would you just open up your ears? In John chapter 12, Jesus says this, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven. Again, he's facing the cross, right? And the Father says to him, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Peter, that fisherman, He says in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, we did not follow clearly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Peter says, we ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain, up on the Mount of Transfiguration. They heard the voice of God speaking. Interesting, isn't it, in these few verses that we have here, we see the Trinity. Now, how can you not believe in the Trinity, right? Don't we see it right here? We see the Father speaking from heaven. We see Jesus, the Son. We see the Holy Spirit coming down onto the Son. We see the Trinity at work. Verse 23, some of you are looking ahead to all these verses, right? This genealogy, say, what are we going to do with all that? We'll get to it. Verse 23, now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. Do you know what the word ministry means? Serve. He began to serve. Again, I've said it over and over here, the example that Jesus has for you and I, he began to serve. Now, he was 30 years old, and that was the age when the Levites would begin to serve. They got to that point, they were trained, and then at the age of 30, they would serve. But that's an example for you and I to be servants. Where are we serving? Now, this genealogy, it goes on to say, he was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph, the son of Heli, son of, I'm not even going to say all those, I can't even pronounce these names, right? But it's a whole genealogy, but if you look to the very end, it says that he was the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Jesus. This genealogy in the Gospel of Luke, it goes all the way back to Adam, and really it's the whole human race. Now we have another genealogy found in the Gospel of Matthew, but it only goes back to Abraham. And for people who have studied these, it's pretty interesting, and you can read up about this as well. But the genealogy in Matthew, it really traces the line of Joseph. We see here in this, it says he was a son, so it was thought of Joseph. But in Matthew's genealogy, basically it gives the legal line of Jesus, because Joseph was his stepfather, but the legal line, and it goes through the different kings as well. So it kind of points out the fact that Jesus was a king, and he had the right to be on the throne of David. But this line of Mary, now this genealogy here is from the line of Mary when you look at it. Now typically they wouldn't put women's names in there, and they don't. But this man Heli was Mary's father, you see. So we see the bloodline of Jesus. We see what's talked about Jesus being the seed of the woman, right? And it goes back all the way to Adam. So really, it's for the whole human race. We see that too. Jesus was the Son of Man, but he was also what? The Son of God. Interesting stuff. I mean, I'm not going to read all these names, you know, but you could do that and go through each one and look at the differences between the two genealogies. An interesting study. But I think the bottom line about these verses that we're looking at today here is that Jesus is the one that we need. Jesus is our Savior, and we need to follow him. And he said that, follow me. Didn't he say those words? Follow me. follow me. Jesus was baptized. Jesus prayed. Jesus, served. And for you and I as followers of Jesus, and John the Baptist would say, have you really turned to him? And is it something really in your life? And Jesus would say the same thing. As a matter of fact, when Jesus first started preaching, didn't he say the same thing? To repent. For the kingdom of God is upon you. He used that same word, to repent, to turn. Interesting, isn't it? But more than interesting, it's, I think, for us as believers, it's the reality that we can pray and we can hear from God. We can ask God for more of His Holy Spirit in our lives as we yield ourselves more and more to Him. We can also serve. We can say, God, how do you want me to serve? Where do you want me to serve? What is your plan for my life? Because we're all different. We all do different things. Maybe you're not called to get up and speak in front of people. We had yesterday, we only had a couple people speak up, right? Because people said, well, yeah, I have a lot to say, but I'm not going to say it in front of people, you know? But maybe you have a ministry of one-on-one, just to share with people one-on-one, right? I think we all need to ask that question. What, God, what are you calling me to do? How can I serve? We have a lot of needs around here. We don't talk about them very much, but we have needs. Ask Justin, he'll put you to work. So that's all I have to say. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, but most of all, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus to us, for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. Father, we're just human beings, and we're just imperfect vessels, but I pray you'd use us in these days. We don't know how much time we have. The world is in a mess. And we need boldness to speak up for you. Empower us by your Spirit to be true witnesses. Of the truth about who Jesus is and what he did. But I pray as well, Lord, that you would help us to see our ongoing daily relationship with you. It's not something we did 20 years ago. It's today. Walking with you. The old hymn says, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. Lord, that we would walk with you today. We would pray and see incredible things and heaven opening to us and the power of the Holy Spirit upon us, and enabling us to serve, to be servants. I pray too, Lord, for any that have never surrendered to Jesus. Don't wait. Don't wait. We don't know how much time we have. Let it be so that we know Jesus and we know where we're going if we pass out of this life, to be in heaven with you forever and ever because of what Jesus did on the cross. Surrender to him. Call out to him. Receive him. Believe in him today. Jesus, we need you. We love you. How could we do it without you? How can we live in this world without you? Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing together, shall we?